12 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel in a few minutes. I guess some players were speaking today. Didn't know that was going to happen, but Kevin Byard's still at the podium, so we'll be watching and listening for head coach Mike Vrabel. Something that I wanted to bring up to you guys, though, as Mike Vrabel, I guess, is now at the podium, so here we go.
Yesterday on tape, but was it a combination of execution, play calling, especially for an area that you all have been traditionally pretty good at?
Yeah, we had an efficient run to start the drive, one drive down there. Ryan probably could have got the ball and, to Woods, I think coming the play that we had for him, and then he made a decision not to. Which obviously is the quarterback's prerogative, and then progressed on and, didn't really give Chig, a chance. That was the one series. The other series, we got pressured, the ability to handle blitz zero, which we've done well in the past. And it wasn't something that we did. We know that we have to be, much better in those opportunities, and we have been. There's evidence for many years of us doing that. This year, last year, only thing that matters is what we're going to do against, Philly moving forward.
Did the Bengals maybe use more run blitzes yesterday than some teams have against you, or did you guys just not?
No, they brought the nickel just like they have, throughout the year. They brought the safety. I wouldn't say that there was more run blitzes. That's how they played us, and felt like we were prepared. We just have to, be able to block them and move and get some movement. We started the game off with a, felt like a good run. Had everybody blocked and gained 9 yards, but then just really never took advantage of the line of scrimmage. Never were able to string anything together. Just too many inefficient runs for us.
Derek's, I think, averaged 2.8 the last 3 weeks. Is that just come down to not winning enough one-on-one battles?
Well, he's part of that. That's it's everybody. It's when we have success in the run game, it's everybody. And when we're inefficient, it's everybody as well. And, our combination blocks have to be good, whether it's in a zone scheme or a gap scheme. And we got to get him going. And, when we do, we'll have to break tackles and, make sure we get a – force players blocked on the second level.
How do you like the way Traylon is starting to emerge as a playmaker for you guys?
Well, I think he continues to improve. I think he's shown the ability to go up and get the football and had a right read the other day in zone, snapped down, Ryan threw it to him. We had a couple of those. Woody had one of those, and Hoop had one of those. And then, I think he's trying to play fast. I think his effort was great, along with other guys on that screen. When Derek unfortunately fumbled, the guy made a great play, and training was hustling. So, that's a good teaching moment that you just never know when the play is going to be that's going to require your effort. And you could go 30 plays and bust your tail and really not be needed. And then all of a sudden, we need you to protect the guy with the football. And that's what we preach. And it was good to see that happened, unfortunately, not for the fumble, but the ability to be there and take advantage of it.
Reviewing the unsportsmanlike at the end, did both Strong and Tierre get the long snapper, and how's that jive with what they're taught?
Well, I just think anytime you do that's going to be a penalty. That's not a decision or anything that we want or need. We have to be careful. They're only looking for certain things. Make sure you don't cover them up, and make sure you don't have the appearance of hitting them in the head or neck. So it's not something we can do.
Mike, with Derek, so much of the identity of this team has been tied to him in the run game now for a while. And how much is that handcuffed to scheme and personnel? And by that I mean, how difficult is it to change directions when it's not working?
Well, Gentry, our job, obviously is to understand, who it is that's running the ball and has had success. And, Derek has got a unique skill set. That's his size, his length. You know, so we'll have to continue to find ways to get him into the second level, to where he can use his size, his speed, continue to try to get him on the corner and break tackles and stiff arm and do the things that he's done. You know, I thought the screen was an excellent, well-executed play by Brew and those guys, and we've hit a couple of those. You know, so I think that there's some things that, you know, we have to be able to get to get him the football. But our first focus is finding ways to run it and you know, to control the game and let those plays, those run plays and some of those play actions marry with each other. So.
I guess after watching film, I mean, some of the problems in the red zone, anything consistently stand out to maybe keep it from being as effective there as it has been?
They blitz zeroed, and we didn't handle it very well. You know, had a third and five that and we didn't convert. So, you know, we just have to continue to and we did a nice job on third down. You know, I mean, there's some guys, when you lose, when you win, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I thought we did a nice job on some of these third and mediums that we picked up a lot of that probably in previous years we hadn't, or previous weeks, excuse me. So kind of as bad as it was, we were still, you know, able to get some first downs when we were inefficient on first and second. And, you know, we converted on some really nice third downs where we protected and progressed through.
How much did health and personnel affect you guys pressuring the quarterback maybe the last couple of games?
You know, every week we got to find ways to, you know, affect the quarterback, and it's, you know, trying to make him earn it. You know, we didn't. You know, the rush lanes weren't good enough at times. And obviously, seven plays for 186 yards is not making them earn it. You know, 59 for 180-some is. You know, you go from seven plays for 26-yard average to 59 plays at a 3-yard average. So we have to tackle. We have to coordinate the rush. You know, and just there were some things that were, you know, uncharacteristic, you know, allowing the quarterback to scramble on third and 12 to extend the play and then lose the guy. You know, that was not a very good series there that they ran the ball for their second. You know, we've only had the ball running on us two times and certainly didn't think it was going to be from the 8-yard line.
You've talked about Jeff being the best blocking tight end. Has anything happened that's closed the gap there, maybe in him blocking less well and the other guys blocking better?
Well, just going to continue to try to get guys in there. I think that Jeff had some good blocks. I think there was, you know, a couple that, you know, have to be absolutely better. You know, we can't turn and dictate, you know, where the running back runs.
And we lost the feed there for a second. And I wanted to hear that answer, too, because I'm tired of Jeff Swain being on or having the ball thrown to him. I don't mind him as a blocking tight end, but having the ball thrown to him.
Wasn't on the field. I saw somebody tweeted out the number of plays. I think it was Mike Herndon. Number of plays he was actually on the field. He's only on the field for 9 of the passing plays. So they're doing it less. In a perfect world, obviously, they'd love to get to the point where Okonkwo and Hooper can handle all of the duties of the tight end. That would be, I think, perfect world.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, if Swain's not the ideal guy you want, you know, catching a football and being a part of the passing game, but it's not like he's,
all right, let's go back to Mike,
just
Vrabel,
this awful pass catcher.
Here we go. You lied to me, Nick.
We
there he is.
Have proven to be, and hopefully who we are. You know, just have to prepare this week, and we have to show up and try to do things that we know are successful, and you know, not start changing things and, you know, pointing fingers, and, you know, just be accountable, make the corrections, figure out why, ask questions, learn from it, you know, and make sure that, you know, we look at the things that we do when we're doing well, that we have success, and when we don't.
Kind of along those lines, Mike, how do you, it's not often that you guys lose games the way that you normally win games, I guess is the best way to put it. Up front, stopping the run, that kind of thing. How do you use that as a challenge going forward to get back to winning at what you guys do best?
Well, man, that's just fundamental football. Those are things that we have to, be able to do, understand what the keys are each and every week. They change. And, when you don't do a very good job on the keys, it's going to be tough to win the football game. So, make sure everybody understands, keep things in perspective. Everybody's disappointed and upset when you lose, but, it's a quick turnaround against, an excellent football team.
Changing success running the ball yesterday. Just kind of what do you need to shore up going against a guy like Jalen Hurts who likes to run it as well?
Yeah, hopefully we have better rush lanes than what we had on yesterday. They're going to design runs for him that, they may outnumber you just based on, the quarterback running and what defense you're in. We'll know that they have designed runs, but then also, his longest run I think yesterday was a drop back pass, and we'll have to have much better rush lanes and rush coordination and understanding, who it is that we're playing.
Any change in Ben's status?
From what?
Is he out of concussion protocol?
Ben's working his way through. We'll keep monitoring it and see how he is Wednesday.
What did Trey Avery do to earn his snaps, and how do you think he did with his opportunity?
Did excellent. They challenged him. They tried him five times. He won six times. He won five and lost one. So, say he was probably the best of the group of corners and did everything that he could do with the snaps that he got. So, he gets in there, kind of does it the way we coach and challenges, play square. Had a PBU, so that's what he did.
As we see, it seems like the creativity is kind of expanding for guys like Chig and for Traylon. So for those young players, is that because of acquired confidence that you guys have in them, acquired confidence that they're having, comfortability? What is behind, what seems to be an uptick in attempts to really go out and get them?
Yeah, just trying to get the ball to guys that, can help us and have, done a nice job and earned those reps. That may change each week based on, a certain defense or what we see. You got your core offense or core defense, and then you try to figure out how much you can handle, game plan wise, that you can put in.
To December this week, what's the challenge of finding your best football and rounding in form over the last several weeks?
Well, you have to continue to improve. You have to continue to improve when practice reps are down late in the season. Focus on, how you're going to improve technically, skills that you need for your job, how you're going to improve physically, how much more rest you plan on getting. Look at your nutrition, your conditioning, weight training, and then focus on improving mentally. How you're absorbing the information, your ability to get recovered from good plays, from wins, from bad plays, from losses. Keep things in perspective. So that's the challenge, and that's where we're starting.
Do you feel like Randy's made some progress? We could get your kicker back soon, or that remain to be seen?
I think he's he's feeling better, but it's I think we'll have to monitor it as we go down towards the end of the week and see how he feels and see if he's going to be able to kick Wednesday or Thursday. And it's such a violent, action, that you just have to make sure that he can do everything that we need him to do as far as kicking field goals and kicking off.
Any of your practice?
Go back to him, or is there, if he's healthy, some question as to where you go?
I don't know if we're ready for that yet. I think I'm just focused on, getting him as healthy as possible. And, Caleb hit the ball well, had the touchbacks, and, had the one that I'm sure he'd like to have back that wasn't his best swing. But other than that, I thought he kicked the ball well.
Is there open any practice windows for this week for IR guys?
Well, we'll look at, see where Kyle is and Ola and see what they feel like on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There you go, Mike Vrabel, Titans head coach, addressing the media. Interesting thing there at the end.
Maybe a little players, hint. Maybe that, a little hint.
Yeah, a little hint. We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right. And Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators, who will be in action tomorrow night against Anaheim. And again, a great shout out to the staff downtown for all the hard work that they have done around Smashville to get the building back dried off and ready to play tomorrow night against the Ducks. Our pregame coverage will start at 6 o'clock, brought to you by Lee Company, proud sponsor, and they have got such a great array of services. And speaking of that, hey, general maintenance, right? Hey, that's what's going on down at the arena. That could be what goes on in your house, right? You have stuff go on, and you need maintenance. You need help. Lee Company has got that, both for your home and your business. 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. They're just a phone call away, or you can make an online appointment. Let them know what the problem is. They'll come out, and they'll get on it as soon as possible. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Once again, 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com.
Derek's, I think, averaged 2.8 the last 3 weeks. Is that just come down to not winning enough one-on-one battles?
Well, I mean, he's part of that. I mean, that's it's everybody. It's when we have success in the run game, it's everybody. And when we're inefficient, it's everybody as well. And, our combination blocks have to be good, whether it's in a zone scheme or a gap scheme. And we got to get him going. And, when we do, we'll have to break tackles and, make sure we get a force players blocked on the second level.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel addressing the media. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game. Talking about getting those blocks for Derrick Henry. Kind of goes back to, something we were discussing earlier of, is it more he's lost a step? Is it protection? And I think it's a combination of just about everything when it comes to that. But at the end of the press conference, he gave maybe a little hint. Could Kyle Phillips, I believe that's the Kyle he's referring to.
Oh, yeah.
And Ola Danny. Could they potentially be returning to practice this week? We'll see on Wednesday, but that would be huge if you can get those.
And he
guys
wasn't
right.
Asked specifically about any one person.
No, he just said anybody.
Up Kyle, yeah. And Ola. So maybe dropped a hint that that could be in the works.
Yeah, which is John Glennon does a good job with that of how he words it because he leaves it up to Mike how he wants to answer it. And, we've heard Mike say, nope, nobody probably going to return this week or could be.
Yeah.
He or
say, we'll see on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But he threw a couple names out there, so maybe a little optimism. I think Kyle Phillips would help, right? Just he adds a little extra ingredient that maybe some of the other guys don't, just that slot guy that can get just maybe an extra way to go about it. I do think it's interesting, the question about the run game. Mm-hmm. And, I put it this way. You can look at the last three games. I extend it to 3.5, the second half of the Chiefs game. But his last 75 carries, Derrick Henry, 207 yards, 2.8, just under 2.8 yards per carry. That's a pretty decent chunk of football. And so it's not just one game, hey, the Broncos did a nice job or the Bengals did a nice job. We're talking about 3.5 football games. That is more than just a little bit of a slump. So I like how Mike Vrabel didn't shy away from saying some of it is got to be on Derrick Henry, right? We're talking about that many carries. It can't just be one thing. Certainly Ben Jones, the last two games missing, that doesn't help at all. But I do wonder, going forward, and Derek, earlier in the show, you made a great analogy to when Eddie George started slowing down a little bit in 2002 and 2003, where he wasn't able to carry the team anymore. What happened? The rest of the offense stepped up. There were better pieces. Yourself, Steve McNair, evolved into a great passer, up several levels from when it was the Tennessee Oilers, and he was a young quarterback, and it was more everything was leaning on Eddie George, right? I think they might be at that point where it's time to consider. Is it time to take a little bit off of Derrick Henry's shoulders? Less could be more in the running game.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
And
this
maybe the passing game might be ready to shoulder a little bit more of the load. I think it's a fair question to assess. I'm not saying they have to do it today and change, because I know there's that stubbornness. This is what we are. This is our identity.
And you're mid-season.
But Jeff Fisher would have said the same thing. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there, Mike Heimerger said, you know what? We're better off with a little less Eddie George and a little more of the passing game, and we're ready to do that.
So I'm gonna use this analogy. What I'm starting to see is the natural evolution of Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. That we all knew he was going to get to a point where he wasn't going to be able to carry the team on his shoulders anymore. I'm not saying that he's completely gotten to that, but you can definitely tell that the wear and tear is catching up to him. It's similar to that natural evolution that we saw when Yussi Saros took over for Pecorine. There was a moment where they got closer and closer together, and then they lined up, and then it shifted, and Yussi took over. My question for you, Derek, is with an offense and knowing what your identity is and knowing that you've always been that ground and pound, run first type team, even though you do have pieces in place that can help you with the pass game, how do you change that? And Vrabel was even asked about it in the press conference. How do you change that right now at this moment, or is that something that you have to address more in the offseason of, hey, Derek's still a part of the team, he's still a key part of the team, but we're not going to go run first and rely on the run as much. We're going to try and become a little bit more of a passing team. When is the proper time to do that?
I mean, it's not a win. It's how you do it, because they can, the Titans can shift and say, hey, listen, we want to pass the ball 35 times a game. And they can do that. And it may work. It may not. I don't know. But to me, it's not about when, it's how you do it. It's, still being able to utilize Derrick Henry, but also take advantage of the emergence of and a confidence that is building with Treylon Burks and Chika Conquo, and that confidence and that skill set that Hilliard has out the backfield, that Robert Woods still has some things left in him. Because I said, listen, the person I feel the worst about is Robert Woods, because he came here thinking that A.J. Brown would be on the other side of me and I can do what I need to do as that second receiver and that chain mover. Well, it was quickly shifted and he became the number one guy. He's not a number one guy anymore. So now with the emergence of Burks, it puts him back in that position where now I don't have to go out and be that number one guy. I can fall into the role that I was brought in here to accomplish, and that is to be the second receiver. So it's how will Downing moving forward slowly incorporate more of the passing game, because I'm a firm believer of this in today's football. Now, yesterday's football, You can run the ball, play great defense, you'll win a championship. That's all it was about. Play great defense and run the football, you win championships. Nowadays, it's not like that. You have to, and I mean this, it's imperative that you show that you have a passing game in this league. Because if you don't, you're not going to win a championship. If you can't show that you can come out and throw the football with some consistency and make plays down the field, those chunk plays, so you don't have to drive the ball 15 plays, 12 plays. We got enough talent outside where we can throw a big pass of 50, and then after that, we can score in less than 3 or 4 plays. Until the Titans get to that point, I think they're slowly getting to that point. But until they get there, I don't see how they move forward in the playoffs without a passing game.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting they have to make a radical change.
Yeah, it's not a radical change, but they have to show consistency in the passing game like they have the last 3 weeks.
And I think you hit on it. It's not what they have done to this point has been pretty remarkable with all of the injuries they've had, and they put themselves in position to win the division. But what they're trying to do is, how do we get to the point where we could challenge anybody in the AFC and be able to realistically think we can win in the playoffs. You've got to have more than one way to go about it. And the Bengals proved yesterday that it is possible to take away Derrick Henry. In fact, the last three opponents have done a very good job of basically taking him out of the running game with any kind of efficiency. It doesn't mean they haven't tried to run it. And to their credit, they have set up some things in the passing game. So how do you take it from here? How do you evolve from here? Especially as Burks, Okonkwo, maybe down the road, Kyle Phillips can add a little ingredient.
I think if they can get Kyle Phillips back, a healthy Kyle Phillips, and let him get a game or two up under his belt, I think he brings an element that the other receivers don't. He has that wiggle. He has that sudden burst, that quickness that can get him away from a defender and get those 7-yard catches and turn it up into a 10-yard catch. He can get those 3-yard catches for a first down, turn it up and get you six or seven more yardage. No one else from the slot position can do that from the Titans. He's the one guy that can. So I think if he is able to come back, and once he gets a game or two up underneath his belt, you are starting to see this offense from a game planning standpoint shift even more. Because now I got my slot guy, and I can work him any way I want to.
And if we had seen them cash in the red zone yesterday, mm-hmm. we might really be talking about an exciting evolution. Mm-hmm. Right? They're proving they can win even when they don't get much in the running game from Derrick Henry. Right? If just a few plays. If they click in the red zone, the story is a little bit different today. So there's some things there. They didn't come up with a win yesterday, but the important thing is, like Mike Vrabel always says, we have to keep improving. We have to keep improving.
And that's exactly what they're going to try to do as they take on Philadelphia. We'll continue to take your calls. Eddie, hang on the line with us. 615-737-1025. Your text, your reaction. Some of you are a little fired up about this conversation we're having right now. We'll get to that coming up next. But want to tell you about Hair Club, as they have now joined our team, and we're excited to have them on board. Listen, you know, I'm realizing that the lettuce needs a little help. And so I have decided to use Hair Club and their EXT treatment, Extreme Hair Therapy, to maximize regrowth results while reducing future hair loss in just minutes a day. You can regrow the hair that you love with EXT. Add strength and volume while reducing future hair loss with their comprehensive program that combines Hair Club's salon services with at-home products to maximize your growth results. It's a comprehensive approach. You go to the centers once a month for a check-in and receive scalp treatments, personalized conditioning formulas, and professionally styled haircuts as well. Then there's an at-home system where you regrow your hair and slow further loss with Hair Club's 5-step system that includes shampoo, cleanser, conditioners, supplements, and rejuvenator formulated with FDA-approved minoxidil. Hair regrowth devices, they'll provide you with an EXT spa, a state-of-the-art rechargeable waterproof scalp massager, plus a laser light therapy device to help promote regrowth at home by increasing the blood flow to your follicles. It's that easy. So go see them at 278 Franklin Road, Synergy Business Park, Building 4, Suite 250 in Brentwood, or give them a call, 615-200-6601. That's 615-200-6601. Go see Hair Club today. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you, 615-737-1025. The Preds have a game tomorrow night. Can't wait for that. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. You can participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 with Robbie and Rex Road. 615-737-1025. Andrew on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think this might be directed at me, but we'll see. Is this what we jump to when 22 doesn't rush for 100 yards? Offensive line missing pieces and 22 still near the top of the NFL rushing is a Stillman take. You're better than that, Andrew in Nashville. I'm not saying, number one, I think a lot of people go to that when he doesn't rush for 100 yards. But it's pretty clear the last three games, even though he hasn't rushed for 100 yards, that there's something a little bit off with the run game overall.
Yeah, it's a fairly decent size sample. If it's one game, I don't think we'd ever bring it up. But this is three straight full games, and then you go back the second half of the Kansas City game, he had 8 carries for 23 yards. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about 3.5 games where that's 75 carries at less than 3 yards a carry. That's very un-Derrick Henry-like. And well, that's a decent sample size right there.
Well, that's the trend. And, you know, whether you're in the stock market or we're talking about sports, if the trend is there, then you talk about it. If the trend says the stock market is going down, then that's what you discuss. And you say how much is going down or what will be the effects of this trend moving forward. Well, we're saying the same thing about Derrick Henry. It's the trend over the last 3.5 games has been him not averaging as many yards as he did prior to the trend. He's averaging, 3 yards a carry. And this is not something that the three of us just start talking about. So since Derrick Henry didn't have 3 good games, all of a sudden now we're talking. We've been talking about this the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
This was our question.
It's a constant. It's always a constant.
Is he going to be the same Derrick Henry, or will he regress a little bit? I think we all said that he would regress a little bit. We didn't say he was going to fall off a cliff, but it's evident. And I've always said he's still the best runner, but he's not the runner he was prior to the injury. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the injury, but that's my sort of timeline. After the injury, he has not been the same running back. Is he still good? Yes, but too many times, even when he has a good rushing game, he's getting tackled by one guy. Defensive backs that are 50 pounds lighter than him. Linebackers that usually didn't tackle him one-on-one, they're tackling him one-on-one now. When he gets in the open field, he's just not running away from people. That's not saying, oh my goodness, Derrick Henry is done. That's saying we're seeing, him go from great to now he's good. And there's nothing wrong with that, because why? He's still second in the NFL in rushing, I believe, behind Saquon Barkley. He might be first now, depending on what Barkley had the other day. So as long as it continues to trend this way, then we got to talk about it. Why? Because other teams are talking about it when they're going to face the Titans. That, hey, listen, it seems like Derrick Henry isn't the same back. Now, we're still going to commit to stopping him, but we're not scared he's going to break those big ones like he used to, or he's going to stiff arm 2 or 3 people in the process like he used to. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's fair to point that out. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at. I said earlier, I still think he could probably be a 1,300, 1,400 yard rusher, which, well, hell yeah, you take that.
Exactly. We've been, in fairness to us, this is not something we just brought up, right? No. That's where the texture is coming from. We have asked this question before. We've come back to it every 5 games, right? Mm-hmm. 1,350 was our over-under. Well, that wasn't even ours. It was Vegas's older over-under. He's still tracking for that, but there's an efficiency. There's what's best for the offense. And is he going to wear down? Or is it going to be the Derrick Henry vintage, where his best month traditionally has been December, mm-hmm. right? He's had some massive Decembers. Is he still capable of that when the weather starts getting colder? You have to be thinking about all these things.
And I'm curious to see it. I have to read this. Uh-huh. Kevin on our text line to RoomboWilsonCountyHoney.com says, Phillips is too brittle. He's like Justin Hunter. If you hit him, he breaks like glass. He needs more muscle to play in the NFL. That was his original text, and then I think he thought he was texting someone else and said, going through Chick-fil-A now. Could you pick us up
something? Kevin? I saw that.
Can you get us something, Kevin, please?
Kevin, yeah, Chick-fil-A sounds good right now. I'll take a chicken sandwich.
Or was he saying, put the show on hold. Don't answer this until I get through the drive-thru. Yeah. Is that what he was saying?
Could be. I don't even think it has anything to do with Kyle Phillips being brittle. I mean, listen, there are guys his size that play the receiver position. I mean, it happened. It's the guy's been playing football a long time now. But some guys are just, it just happens to them when they move up a level. whether it be from high school to college or college to the NFL. For some reason, they're dealing with these nagging things. And honestly, I think they should have set him a long time ago, and they still allowed him. He played another game after he had this shoulder injury. And he should have set. He shouldn't even played that game. They should have just let him heal. But they didn't. They felt they needed him. He could play, and he tried. And, you know, he was affected by it. So I don't think it has anything to do with him. You know, he needs to put on some more weight or muscle. And that stuff will come. This is only his first year. You know, once he has a full year in that weight program, he will be a bit stronger than he was last year. And you may continue to have an injury or two here, or you may not. It just depends. So I just want to see the kid back out there on the field because yeah. I think he brings a different element to that passing game that no one else on that team has at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that because I think he just adds to, especially with Woods, Burks, and Westbrook Akine getting better
exactly.
and doing more. You just add another element there for sure. 615-737-1025. The Titans fall to the Bengals yesterday, 20-16 at Nissan Stadium. And a big part of that was the red zone. How can they get more efficient in the red zone? We'll continue the discussion next. NFL Zingers at 1 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Kieser behind the glass. He'll have NFL Zingers up at 1 o'clock. You know, we were kind of prodded him there. Is he going to bring up Mike White? Western Kentucky's own. So we'll see. We'll have to find out.
We're pretty good.
We find out about these in real time. Something that I've been wanting to bring up, and we've just had a lot to discuss today. You know, red zone efficiency, we've really hit on a lot, but I thought this was interesting. Jim Trotter did an article for NFL.com earlier today, trust tiers for the 8 NFL division leaders entering week 13. I think this is kind of cool. And I guess this was last night that he put it out. But so he says teams that he trusts a lot that are leading their division. Kansas City, can't argue with that, 9-2, probably going to be number one seed in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia Eagles, 10-1. No complaints there.
Mm-hmm.
Good so far?
Yep.
Okay. San Francisco 49ers, leading the West, 7-4. Do you trust them a lot like Jim Trotter does?
Ooh, I don't know. The way they're playing now, that defense always roll. But if Garoppolo's playing the way he has been playing, then they have to be a Sherlock almost that you trust him in that division. Because nobody else, who else? Seattle?
No. Seattle lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, Seattle slipping a little bit back to earth. They easily could have won that game yesterday. And Arizona, by the way, we'll just throw this in there. We were debating where Derrick Henry is. He is now second to Josh Jacobs thanks to the 86-yard run. He was having a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
He ends the game in overtime with an 86-yard touchdown run, which put him over 200 yards for the game. So Jacobs is having a really productive year. So getting to the 49ers, as you brought them up, they have not – this is the stat from yesterday. You guys see this? 4 straight games. Mm-hmm. They have shut the opposition out in the second half. Four straight. So their defense is really – locking it down. They look for sure like the best team in that division. It's so crazy with Garoppolo now. They didn't want him to be the quarterback, now but he is, and now they got McCaffrey, and they got the championship-level defense. Yeah, they look pretty good.
They're 4-0 in their division, so you know they're on their way to win it. Did he have anyone else on that list? Because I'm almost – Buffalo, for me, they've shown chink in armor. And granted, listen, they've had some injuries on their defensive side of the ball. They lost their Pro Bowl safety. I think they lost both of them at one point, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken. We don't know if Josh Allen healthy, you know. The last three or four weeks, he has made some bad choices in the red zone. I mean, some bad ones. And he's threw some interceptions. So as high as we have been on the Buffalo Bills, and I think you still have to be, Miami's sitting there like, listen, we're 6-2, 2-1 in the division. Buffalo's 0-2 in the division. So why isn't, you know, people talking more about us instead of Buffalo?
Yeah, it's interesting. Miami, you know, is really playing well right now. And Buffalo, I still think, is the scariest team if they get it together. But it does, you do wonder, like Matthew Stafford, you heard all of these things about his elbow, something's wrong, and now it hits. He may not play the rest of the year. I do wonder, behind the scenes, how much the arm is bothering Josh Allen when he's out there every week. Is that leading to the mistakes, or is he just in a little bit of a slump? Because some of it, you just say, it's the decision. Like, why is he throwing it? Does that have anything to do with his arm?
It has nothing to do with the arm strength. Yeah. It's just like you're just making bad choices on the field as a quarterback.
But would you agree? I still, like, if the Titans can hang on to the division, which they still have a great chance of doing, and they're the 3 or 4 seed, you start picking your poison.
Right.
You're going to play a good wild card team. It's in the mix would be these teams that don't win the AFC East, like Buffalo, like the Jets, like Miami.
Look,
you start going down the list. I really kind of hope that the Bills win the division. Right? Yeah, I don't want to have to play them.
But would you rather
in a wild card game?
Miami? You think that's going to be?
That's not going to be any.
That's
no picnic. That's no picnic.
I mean, I think you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. So that's why there's a difference in the 3 seed and the 4 seed.
That's what we were talking about last week. In Jim Trotter, his article, division leaders he trusts a little, the Miami Dolphins, the Tennessee Titans.
I don't know why he trusts
a little.
A little. To win their division,
just when it comes to AFC. Being a playoff contender.
Okay,
he says for the Titans, maybe this is a blind spot for me, but I love how the Titans know who they are and don't try to be something else. While other teams want to lean on their pass game and deception, the Titans line up and seek to beat you with physicality and execution. It doesn't matter if you know what's coming; they say you have to stop it.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, he's right.
He's clearly watched the team because that's spot on.
Those are facts. But does he trust them a little bit to make the playoffs, or does he trust them a little bit to advance in the playoffs?
He's talking about, like, advancement.
Oh, okay,
as the division leader.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that as far as trusting a
little bit.
Yeah, to advance. Because my thing is, it has nothing to do – can they show consistency – in the pass game, that's what. Because ultimately, in a playoff, they're going to have to.
Division leaders he doesn't trust at all: Baltimore, Minnesota, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I would agree. Baltimore has shown chink in armor. They have injuries. I mean, Humphreys didn't play yesterday. Pro Bowl cornerback. He didn't play yesterday. They have injuries. Then they have injuries on the offensive side of the ball. One of their top receivers were out. So I can understand why he doesn't trust them, because for some reason they get a lead and they blow a lead, like, in a heartbeat. It's like they're up 21 points sometimes and they blow it. Like, what's going on? So
real quick, Andrew wants to weigh in on Derrick Henry. I don't know if this is the same Andrew that texted in, but Andrew, welcome.
Well, let's find out how the food was, if that's the case.
No, that was Kevin.
That was Kevin. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys. It's the same, Andrew. I just want to let you guys know, first off, really enjoy the show. I think you guys do a great job. It's one of the few times I disagree with you. So I think you guys had talked about the 3-game sample size against the Chiefs, Packers, and Bengals. I don't think you really have an argument for the Chiefs game because of Willis being the starting quarterback. They key in on the run.
Just to clarify, it's the second half of the Chiefs game, then the Broncos game, then the Packers, and then yesterday with the Bengals.
I just think we've become one-dimensional. I mean, and obviously the passing attack is starting to come through, which is good. But I do think that you still see spurts of old Derrick Henry with that screen pass yesterday. Yeah, he fumbled the ball, but, like, he's got bursts of speed. And I really think it is the offensive line. and the no AJ Brown. We haven't necessarily found that replacement yet. I mean, Treylon Burks is starting to come too, but I don't necessarily think that that is a sign of him slowing down. I just think the scheme is just one dimensional right now. And once it gets back to what it was last year, if it does, I think you can actually have an argument with that. But as of right now, I think Derrick Henry maybe has slowed down a tad, but I don't think that's got everything to do with like kind of handing off between like the argument that Chase made before, like Pekka handing the reins over to Saros. I just don't think that's applicable right now. But anyways, guys, I really enjoy the show. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate
Thank
the call.
You, Andrew. Appreciate it. I don't think you were saying hand it off to another running back. Like, okay.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying you're seeing the natural
progression of this team, and it's happened in this franchise's career before. And that was, I mean, obviously I'm talking before the Houston Oilers days, because I still separate those two franchises. To me, it's just the Tennessee Titans and then it's the Houston Oilers. But it happened with the Tennessee Titans franchise when Eddie got the toe injury and he started to lose a little. And the team under Mike Heimerdinger and Jeff Fisher, we started becoming more of a passing team. We became a more consistent passing team, a more consistent passing threat. I think if this team wants to advance in the playoffs, they're going to have to become more of a consistent passing threat. Not taking anything away from Derrick Henry, but if they want to advance in the playoffs, they can't rely solely on riding Derrick Henry because if they do – again, I'm only going by what I'm seeing. Is Derrick Henry still a good running back? Absolutely. But is he getting tackled by one guy too many times? Absolutely. And this is what we're seeing. And before this year, we didn't see it. Everybody was a meme to him.
Yeah.
He was stiff-arming everybody.
But I think people misunderstand that when we say these things, I know, we're just pointing out what's happened the last three and a half things. We're not saying he's done.
Exactly.
Right. I know.
It doesn't mean he can't come back around. It's just saying this is a concerning trend. What do you do about it? And do you evolve the offense, or do you stay with the same thing you've always done?
I'm glad Andrew called in. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. I'm not picking on Andrew. Adam has been tweeting at us and saying that we've given up on him. I think you're hearing certain things. You're not hearing the whole thing. I said I think he's going to get 1,400 yards this year and still be, you know, towards the top of the league. It's just there is a regression. That's just a part of it. That's all we're saying. We'll come back with NFL Zingers. That is up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.